welcome, and thank you for joining us. Welcome to Money Matters. I am Dave Petzo, and of course, these are my opinions and my opinions only. It's not this station, and we're not here to tell you what to buy, and sell, and tell you that interest rates are going to be higher in 6 months, and the Fed is going to be dropping interest rates 3 times over the next 12 months, things like that. We all know how wrong that is. Their predictions have been so wrong. The Fed's predictions have been so wrong. Wall Street told you you couldn't a year ago buy tech stocks, which has been driving the entire market. Prediction is not important. It's not. I'm going to talk about that in the second hour, but the difference between investing and speculation, gambling and investing. We all know there's a big difference, but I actually think that some people don't think that the market is a simple, easy thing to invest in, that you have to have vast knowledge and you have to be able to trade it. And the truth could be, well, I mean, it's not at all true. The more you trade, the worse you do, all of history says. The more involved in it, the more you're sure, the more news you read, the more stuff you watch, the worse you do. Because we tend to overthink things. We analyze analysis to paralysis. We overanalyze and do nothing. And we do it all the time. Unfortunately, we also dive into our own belief system and learn only more about what we already believe. We don't really consider other things. We think we're well-read and understand things when we read more and more deeply about things we already believe in. So I never really am listening to anything else because I'm so super smart about all the data about what I already believe. There's no way I'm going to change my mind. And when it comes to investing, this is really an important point because we get to the point where we think we know things. Wall Street, the most classic thing is all the arguments that I had with very smart people, MBAs, portfolio managers, all that stuff, up until a year ago for the prior 15 years. That how in the world would a 60-40 portfolio work in a 2% interest rate environment? It's not even earning the inflation rate. Why would that work? Well, we learned about that, and we studied about it, and we read more about proper asset allocation. Oh, okay. So what we did was we already dove deeper into what we already knew, never contemplating a possible environment that was so different that it broke all the rules. We had to find other things to do. And I certainly wasn't out there alone, but at times it felt like nobody was contemplating, and there must be something wrong with my thought process. I can't be one of the very few people that don't see this. It's like in my mind, okay, it was like this. I'm looking up at the sky and it's blue. And everybody else is like, it's not blue. I must be colorblind. There's something wrong with me. It is blue. But it takes time, I think, and it's absolutely impossible for many people. When we put that kind of, if you will, that doomsday, all the news piled on top of all that, and then we read more online, we go deeper online, we listen only to what we already agree with, makes it impossible to change our minds and feel like there might be a future. There might be, even with somebody like JoJo in office. Again, the market hasn't done poorly. With, I would have to argue, probably the most incompetent president ever. I don't know, you know, maybe sometime in 1812 or something, whoever was president back then was really bad. I don't know. But certainly in reasonably modern times, maybe when since toilets have flushed, I don't know. This is really bizarre. I can't think of anything on a global stage that's gone well, from Afghanistan to the Middle East. It just goes on and on and on of what a basket case every decision has been. Everyone. It's very hard to get confident in that kind of circumstance. But America's bigger than that. And even bigger than that are the corporations that are making boatloads, billions and billions of dollars daily. The greatest corporations in the world. It's what makes us different. It's what makes us great. Europe has been on retreat for 20, 25 years. They think that the government can manipulate. We're moving that way. I know. I can hear it. I hear you. And we may be only able to say we're the best in a bad neighborhood, but we are. But we are the best. And then we got to go through the whole we're worried about China part, and we still should worry about China, of course. But they're going to take it over economically because, once again, there's this faction of people that really believes that a few people sitting in a room, smart people, of course, they got to be smart. They're all smart. And politicians always do smart stuff. But those power brokers are going to sit around and be able to manage a fairer or better or whatever it is, keep them in power, economy. In other words, keep the people happy. Because that works in from Venezuela to Argentina to Mexico to communist Russia to communist China. It doesn't work. Markets are so smart. Individuals working for their own good create amazing things that we all love and we all live better because of. That's America. Why we try to retreat from it, I don't get. But back to my point. When we are thinking about markets, about stocks, and why 10% per year is pretty darn good and nothing else has come anywhere near that. Nowhere near that. Anything that somebody tells you, well, this is going to do, you know, 18% a year or whatever, they're lying. And they just want to put your money in their pocket. But for 100+ years, actually hundreds of years, after inflation, the market's gone up more than 7% per year. Nothing's close. In other words, 10% minus 3, blah, there you go. We talk about gold endlessly, and I don't want to make this show once again about why gold is the worst idea I've ever heard in my 42 years. It just comes up, it comes up, it comes up. It produces nothing. It doesn't produce rent. It doesn't produce interest. It's a pretty brick. It sits in the corner, and somehow it has the mythical value. But the truth is, over the last 200 years, gold has actually underperformed inflation. In other words, it doesn't work. It isn't producing anything. But then we get back to this, but the market's going to crash and all the things that we hear about every single day. And it can't work because of our feelings about JoJo. The Justice Department, whatever it is that we're worried about. It's all unfair. It's totally true. And it does undermine the greatness of this country. It undermines the future of our children. But it isn't today in the markets. And it won't be. Corporations do business around the world in communist nations. Socialists, dictatorships. It's high tax, low tax, poor regulations, horrifying regulations, designed to hurt business. They manage to work around that. We can here too, and we do. and they're still innovating and creating things. And we also have to ask ourselves this question this year right now. What's going on with AI? Why is the market doing so well when the underlying economy isn't doing as well as the market by any stretch? Something's going on. And instead of trying to decide what the future is and what is going to happen next year and what interest rates are going to do and who's going to win the election, we need to focus on what's before us right now. What is there? What is there there? What works? Will it work next month? I have no idea if stocks are up or down. And I mean that. Here's what I would do. I would always bet that they're higher because they always go to all-time highs. Oh, yeah, by the way, we logged another all-time high this week, both the NASDAQ and the S&P. So when we laugh about Dow 40,000, which is right around the corner, we laugh about S&P 5,000. Oh, that was so yesterday. Sorry about that. That's already happened. We miss it because we worry that we're going to buy something and then it's going to go down tomorrow. But the market is up most days. I mean, barely, just by just the tiniest bit, right? But if you're thinking, what are the odds? I'll tell you, the odds are the market's going to be up in a week, a month, a year, because most of the time it is. But not always. And that's the fear. And I don't understand it. I don't. When something has performed so much better than anything else in the world, not even close. Not even close, and you don't have to do anything. I don't know why people question it so much. But I think it's because there's so much money made selling gold and fear. I think so. All right, I got to take a quick break. We're going to talk some more about this. And then in the second hour, I hope you stick around because I'm going to talk about investing versus speculating. It's a very important topic for us to address periodically. I know over the years I've addressed it. We need to talk about it some more. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. 580-5436, 580-KIDO. That is our number if you prefer email. It's dave@petsofinancial.net. And I always let people know because once in a while, or always, I try to remember sometimes, that's .net, not .com. A lot of times it's an automatic thing you put in there. And, of course, it won't be received. So if you're sending us an email now or during the week, that's a better way of doing it. Try it with .net. All right. I talked about this speculation and what we're going to be really hammering on in the next hour. But this is why I want to talk about speculation versus investing. This is just an interesting article in the Wall Street Journal. It's one of the things that happens, okay? And I've talked about this in regards to Apple stock since iPhone came out. But Berkshire Hathaway, we all know and have heard of Warren Buffett and the amazing success. But how much giving has come from the billions of dollars of gains, billions, tens of billions, hundreds of billions of dollars in gains people have had on Berkshire Hathaway over his remarkable 70-plus year career of investing? Investing, owning great companies, they're not all correct. In fact, in Warren Buffett's own words, most of our selections are mediocre at best. Wow. That's quite a statement. Mediocre at best. So it's those few that you don't trade out of, you don't speculate on, you own. Because owning stock isn't a casino game. You hear the music. We're about out of time. This is what I want to talk about. I want us to understand in the second hour, better than we do, better than lip service, how great the markets are. And not trading vehicles. We'll be back after Fox News. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. And once again, I want to say these are our opinions, and that's it. And we're not here to tell you what to buy, and sell, sell, sell. And that is the beginning of speculation, not investing. I think in many ways this is the hardest, but clearly the easiest thing in the whole wide world to do is to own stocks. It takes nothing. I mean, nothing. You're not allowed to go shovel the sidewalk for a corporation you own because of a snowstorm. You can't help them in any way. You're not allowed to. You can only take the dividend checks and spend them. You can only decide when you need the money back or you want the money to sell it and keep the gains. That's all you get to decide. It couldn't be easier. And today, with no cost, this is one of the things, too, that I don't know how you dispel it. If people just want to believe it's tilted to the big guy, the big investor, little guy can't make it. I can't help him. I can't, because you can go ahead and just read about how it won't work. But I will tell you that investing is free now. It costs nothing. If you want some help, and 99% of the people should, and they should more for psychological reasons than any other reason. I don't know what the market's going to do. That's the point. But what I do know is that my whole life, my whole investment life, my grandpa's life, it's earned 10%. My daughter's life, 10%. If you were born 33 and a half years ago, it's 10%. 42 years ago, 10%. 83 years ago, 10%. It's this weird gravitational pull to 10. Oh, but it's scary. It goes up and down. And yeah, it does. And yet, if we take a step back and we say, do you mean to tell me that literally like less than 18 months ago, on a 25 to 50% dip, I'm sorry, 60% dip in stocks like Facebook, down 70, NVIDIA, down 40, Amazon, Google, Microsoft, Apple, down 25% and more, that I could do that? Because the price isn't fixed. It moves around. Oh, you mean once in a while there's a chance to buy a bargain? Yes. But what do most people do? Honestly, they say, I wish I could have bought Amazon down. Now it would be 50% lower than it is today, maybe more. And if it took a correction tomorrow, because you bought some today, you'd feel really bad. Instead of adding to it, down 50%. Oh, but I understand that because I like going to the store and buying stuff on sale. Then why don't we act on it? And here's why. Partly, you have to have a special aptitude, I think, to go, wow, I can't believe how cheap stocks are. When the world around you looks chaotic. When all of the news is bad and getting worse. Why? Because we love bad news. We love it. We love it. Otherwise, there wouldn't be for 200 years people talking about, if it doesn't bleed, it doesn't lead. Bad news sells, and it sells big time in the markets. And it's easy to sell people on the idea that they ought to be doing something like buying a pretty brick, put it in the corner, even though it doesn't produce anything, and call that investing. That's raw speculation. I think my pretty brick is going to go up. Oh, okay. But why? What's it going to do? Well, it's way less risky than like buying Apple. They make cell phones and stuff, and people buy them, and they love it, and they have this huge generation from apps of cash. They make billions of dollars, like, every day. Risky stuff, that. I want my pretty brick in the corner. It's a misunderstanding. It's a misunderstanding. These are the best corporations in the world. You own a piece of them. I kind of touched on this with the Berkshire Hathaway. How many billions of dollars have been given to charity? Billions, not millions, over the years. And a great story about somebody who, you know, lived to be like 96, died a few years ago, not long ago, gave his daughter all of the stock, which was worth over $1 billion, told her to do what she wanted to do with it. And upon her passing, it's going to a medical school in the Bronx. All of it, over $1 billion. One company that had compounded a few dollars, 10,000, into billions. Billions. By owning some of the greatest corporations in the world. And here's what investing, to me, signifies versus speculating. In a recent time, I can do lots of stuff on Berkshire Hathaway. So let's talk about a recent time. You know, the iPhone is less than 20 years old. I know that's hard to believe because we're so used to it now. It's in everything. But I got to see it on an airplane. I've told this story a zillion times. And the plane, by luck, by divine intervention, was held. So this guy is, you know, feels me staring. I'm right across the aisle at his phone. Because in my pocket is a Crackberry, which, just to remind everybody, everybody calls it a Crackberry because people develop crack habits trying to use the thing. It's unusable. So if I'm going to text, I have to hit the one button 6 times to get a capital C. That's how ridiculous this is. Inoperable. Glorified phone. This thing next to me is a beautiful piece of equipment, and I ask, what is different about it? Because, yes, you want to see it, yes. And literally, several people got up and wanted to see it. We'd all heard it was coming. What's different about it? He says, it's an app. It runs on apps. So what is an app? He says, I'll show you. Do you want to know what the weather is in San Jose when we land? I said, sure. He pushes on a picture of the sun. San Jose comes up because he'd already inputted it. I'm like, wow, this is unbelievable. Anybody can use this. Grandma can use this. You push on a picture of the sun and you get the weather. We all take all this for granted now, but this was amazing. What I'm trying to say is you could have had a 40-fold increase, would have had, if you owned the stock since then. Just own it. 40-fold. $10,000 turns into $400,000. And that doesn't include dividends that it pays. Thousands of dollars worth of dividends in those years. Owning it. But all the time they kept telling you, you can't own this. They only make phones, said the analysts. So you could sell it. And you made a few dollars, good job. But you didn't have to speculate on a new IPO, a penny stock, a meme stock on your Robinhood application. They had in front of you the greatest world-changing consumer product in history. Maybe the automobile was big too. Okay, I'll give you that. But this is monstrous. I think it's even bigger, actually. But let's talk about what that did. You didn't have to buy Apple in bankruptcy or near bankruptcy when Steve Jobs came back the second time, and you would have bought it for pennies. They had delivered and we're selling at a much higher price the greatest technology we've ever seen. Delivered, and it's up 40-fold. That's how easy this is. if you can stay in, if you don't listen to the babble, if you aren't worried about this is the end, this really is the end. I mean, at this time, I've been doing this for 43 years. It's always the end, because the end sells. And it causes us this speculation where we get into, and the world is like this now too. Interest rates are going to go up next year. Yeah, by how much? Oh, well, the Fed says by 25 basis point increases, meaning 0.75%. Oh, is that right? Yeah, and how accurate was that in 2022? Or 23, excuse me. 2023. Let me see. There were 18 equivalent, not three, 18. And these are the ones that control us. So, man, they're the smartest. They know the future. Let's go ahead and speculate on what they say. What are they saying about 24? Well, we're going to probably cut rates. They change it every week. You see, that isn't accurate. When you get to the end of the year and you go, yeah, we told you that it would be, 18 times because we kept changing it all year. That's not accurate. How helpful is any of that predictive? However, if you kept owning your Apple, your Google, your Amazon, and didn't listen to Wall Street predictions about what to buy, sell, own, whatever, the babble. You didn't listen to the babble. You just owned. Well, I hate Google. I hate Amazon. I hate their left-leaning, their all their ways. I hate them. Okay. Make money on them and give it to your causes to fight them. Because they don't care if you own their stock or not. They don't care. They don't care. Be agnostic when it comes to owning stocks. You don't care if you have a coal company, if you think they're going to make money. I don't think they're going to make money, so don't do that. But the point is you don't put your beliefs, politics on stocks. And you always look at them differently. Just look at them differently. Because you see, you're not making a statement. You can make whatever statement you want. Okay, I love people's feelings about things, and it's really great, okay, that people feel empowered to be, say, ESG investing or non-ESG investing, because it just makes them mad because it's a political statement. Be agnostic. It doesn't matter if people pretend that it matters. For example, we're really involved in DEI at Google. Okay. Why? Because young people think it's important. Does it change anything? No, it doesn't. It doesn't matter to anything of how many Google searches there are, how much money they're going to make this quarter. It doesn't matter. So we all pretend to do things. I don't like to pretend to do stuff. I like to have it be meaningful. I don't want to be with people that pretend to be nice people, but they're really sharks. I don't want to be with those people. But if they sound right, they're in the press and everything sounds good. So ignore all that. Because you don't really know people anyway. You don't. We don't. But there's certain things in the world where we have to pretend to be woke. Like, I'm not going to invest in, coal companies. Okay, who cares? The coal company doesn't care. It doesn't make the coal company go out of business, not be able to raise funds. The coal company isn't selling its stock to you directly. It's like this whole fossil fuel nonsense. Doesn't matter. Ignore it. We move past that, and we don't put our feelings over top of things. It makes it easier. Easier to be a great investor, not a speculator. We've got to move away from speculation. And now I just want to quickly touch on this, and we'll get into this more in this hour. As you can tell, I'm pretty excited today. NVIDIA, fear of missing out. Fear of missing out. Just had this conversation. So I've made a lot of money. I'm not going to talk about how much on NVIDIA. I mean, a lot for me. It's been stupid, just stupid. I mean, it's like I just stumbled into this thing. When? On the dip, a couple years ago. Had a little bit before, a couple years ago, boom, there it is. So I sold a little bit because it was getting silly. 25%, let it go. 200 points ago. Like, I'm talking about a couple weeks ago, a few weeks, that's it. That's it. That's how this stock has gone up. The options trading on this stuff is insane. It's insane. The billions and billions and billions of dollars worth of speculative option buying that's going on in the stock. Fear of missing out. This is what's all over. Again, we're back to the meme stocks. What's hot today? Is it, I can put 10 bucks on the Knicks. I can flip open my phone and boom, here I am on Robinhood and I'm putting 10 bucks on the NVIDIA options. Oops, went to zero. Okay, oh well, here we go. Do it again. That's speculation. In fact, I don't know why they lose all their money on stupid stuff. I mean, just stupid. This is stupid behavior. Nobody thinks it's smart. Nobody in their right mind would ever think that's smart. Nobody. Nobody would call it investing. I'm going to put 100 bucks on these options that expire worthless 99% of the time, but boy, I got a lottery ticket here. That's not investing. It is not investing. It's casino. And yet then people lay over top of the market. This thing that all your life has gone up 10% a year and you've done nothing. Oh, I don't know. It's like a Wall Street casino. Yeah, put me in an equity indexed annuity that won't work. That's perfect. How do you think these idiot things are sold? Don't go in a Wall Street casino. Stocks are risky. Prices fluctuate. Oh, except they go up 10% a year all my life. Yeah, but did you see what happened to NVIDIA when it went from 1,500 down to 1,000 and all those people, all those Robinhood people lost all their money? Yeah, happens every time. Did you see how many billions of dollars were made by investors when it went from like nothing to 1,500 back to 1,000 or whatever it is? Did you see how much money people made in Apple, Berkshire Hathaway, Google? Yeah, but the speculators lost money. I know. They always do. They always do. If you treat this like some kind of a game, a get-rich-quick scheme, I don't care what it is. I got this new hot development project in, you know, San Diego. Okay? Yeah. I've been talking to my uncle, and I'm telling you, it's going to be like, we're going to double our money in like 6 months. Yeah. Okay. Cool. You see, you and I know in the abstract, they've already lost their money. Right? They've already lost it. Gone. Because we're going to try to get rich quick. But we don't see that in the greatest corporations in the world. That kind of behavior is the antithesis of investing. This is not investing. To buy options on NVIDIA. To flip open your Robinhood app and read about something. You don't even know what a stock is. But that's okay because your buddies are all hanging around. And well, yeah, I heard of it. I just read this guy who said, you know, you got to buy NVIDIA one-day options, buy them before 9 a.m. in the morning, and boom, you're on. Just sell it by 11. It's all good. Really. And that's investing. Yeah, I don't have any money for investing. I can't come up with $5 a day, $150 a month, and turn that into $1.1 million just putting it in the S&P 500 for 40 years. I don't have that $5. I got 10 to throw on lottery tickets, $20.
let's grab a beer on the way home. That'll only be $30-$40. That's fine, as long as you take care of the investment part. Just like everything. Nothing inherently wrong with gambling, says the guy that loves to go play craps once in a while. But do I think that that's an investment opportunity? No, I don't. I don't. And I don't do it with serious money. It's okay to go have fun, buy what you want, buy all the crazy stuff. We all do it. You know, I like to play golf. I do crazy things like I'm a member of a country club. I mean, that's ridiculously expensive golf. There's lots of cheaper golf available. All those things that we all do, these are silly things. They're expensive. But who cares? As long as you take care. Live your life. Take care of the basics. And don't get caught up in the gambling aspect. This isn't a gamble. It's not. It's investing. All right, we got to take a quick break. Our number is 580-5436-580-KIDO. It's dave@petsofinancial.net. We'll be right back. Hello and welcome. Thanks for joining us. And again, as we talk about individual stocks, I just want to remind people, look, you shouldn't be jumping on NVIDIA or Apple, Amazon, and all these companies that I'm talking about. You should have been jumping on them by owning a diversified portfolio of them, including others that aren't doing very well. And I think this is the thing with investing that's so hard for people. And it is one of the things. There's aspects of this. This is a psychological battle, because the fact is you don't have to know anything to get rich in the market. I mean, you have to know nothing about it except, okay, my dad told me to pay myself first, stay out of debt, and just stay in the market. Just stay. Just keep buying, right? So you keep buying. Okay, I'll do that. I'll go ahead and buy. And you're rich. But psychologically, there's something that makes this hard. When our portfolio goes down, let's say, for example, you've been owning a 401k for your whole working life. And so you put a few dollars in over the years, right? You know, like you put in 100,000 of deposits, 150, whatever it is, right? And it grew all the way up to like $1 million. And then it went down to $750,000, and when you retired. You know what everybody says? I lost $250,000 in the market. It was terrible right before I retired. They don't say I made $600,000 when my $150,000 grew to $750,000, and I did nothing. I wasn't required to do anything. I didn't study anything. I just owned my 401k. And I didn't listen to people who told me the world was ending. I really needed to put that in a guarantee or pull it out and put it into an annuity. It's the only way to be safe. Or I need to roll that over to a gold IRA. Okay. Got it. Okay. That's how easy it is. But what is hard psychologically is that the prices move, and we equate the maximum price that you ever had in your portfolio, anything that comes down from that, it's a loss. I should have got out. I know. You should have sold at the exact peak with everything. And then you could have bought it back down 11.3%, because that's where it went before it ripped to new all-time highs. If only it could have been. Or you can get rich over the years by just owning and tolerating the inevitable, certain to occur over and over again, all the days of our life, market corrections, certain to occur. Enjoy them. Keep adding. Add more when they're down. This is a way to even more wealth. It's a psychological battle. It's hard. All right, I got more stuff coming up, but I went so long in our opening monologue. I've got to take a quick break here for Fox News. So if you do want to get a hold of us, I've got an email. We'll read that one on the other side. It's dave@petsofinancial.net. And of course, you have our phone number. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. Our number is 580-5436-580-KIDO. It's dave@petsofinancial.net. A couple of quick things, and then I'm going to get to an email before we jump to our phones. You know, let's look at this. I have to say it's remarkable because we are in a circumstance where nobody can explain what's going on, why the market's at such highs. Now let me put it this way. Okay, so let's look at this from like a Kevin Miller Tuesday morning interview. Okay, so how do you explain this? We have the consumer confidence has fallen to the worst level since 2020, if you can imagine that. Okay? Durable goods orders were below expectation. Retail sales below expectations. Housing starts are down. And probably the most important thing, because we're all touting how manufacturing is coming back to the United States and all these green jobs and JoJo and his Inflation Recovery Act and all that stuff. And what an amazing thing that is. Except that actually, manufacturing has contracted, not expanded, for 16 months in a row. 16 in a row. Now, you contrast that and say, okay, well, the GDP seems to be growing. We're not sure. Could be, but it's pretty low. So the economy generally is barely breathing positive, if it is. Okay, we don't know until after a few months, right? You can't really know. But that's what we think. And here, then, is a market that hits all-time highs. The NASDAQ, all-time highs. S&P, over 5,000. I've already told you the story about how the J.P. Morgan charts and all that. That's just putting down. That's not here to put down J.P. Morgan. Goodness gracious, they all were saying the same thing. They were just more specific. And we were in a couple of different meetings, and they were very, very specific about the number. And it was 3,500 because they nailed all of the stuff. Meaning, earnings, and that the P.E. ratio, price-to-earnings ratio, ought to be 16.5. That's where it ought to be. It's been that way. That's the average for the last gazillion years. Okay, great, groovy. We're at 5,000. What's going on? How did all of Wall Street miss all of this? And the answer is pretty straightforward. I think it has to do with AI and the market has to make most people wrong most all the time. So when we're particularly bullish, the market goes down and corrects. When we're particularly bearish, the market takes off. It does this over and over and over, decade after decade, which is back to why we want to be investors, not speculators. Don't chase. Okay? All right, let's grab a quick email here before we have to take our break, okay? So we have – I'm 50 years old. Joe says, hey, I'm 50 years old. I haven't invested before. You make it sound really, really easy. But what do I actually do? What does that practically look like? I'm like, now that's a great question. It is. Because it is easy. But you have to have a place to get started. But what I think is important for me to start with on this, and then I'll go through the practical aspect, is good for you. Start. And even for people who have been, because I know there's – I've been doing this a long time, okay? I know people that have a very, very strong belief in stuff like gold. Very dark outlook for the world, for the economy, and they will not stop reading about it, listening about it, about how dark it is. And this goes on forever. But hats off to them. For also running parallel to that is an investment say in their 401ks, their IRAs, just putting money away that says, okay, here goes some for my pile of gold, but I also, you know, okay, here, I'll listen to you. So how do we practically get going? We start. And hats off to start, to stop saying I don't have 30 years, because you don't anymore. It's like walking into a room and saying, you know, I can't light the whole thing up. Yeah, but you can light a match. You might as well have a little light in a dark room. You might as well have a little money over the next 20 years that will help make the rest of your life easier. So start. Now here's a start. Most people have a 401k. You got to do that. That's a bare minimum. Oh, I'm doing that. Good. But I want to do more. Great. You should. You need to. Who's going to take care of you besides you? And the answer is, if you know a financial advisor that you trust, that's a starting point. If you don't, then what you need to be doing is you need to open up an account and you can start buying the S&P 500. It doesn't take a lot. You just open an account. You can open up at Schwab. You can open up, you know, I don't, Robinhood I make fun of, I know. But you can open up one there. There's a zillion online places that you can do that. And trading now is free. And you can buy these exchange-traded funds. They're called, you know, they're called exchange-traded funds, but they're SPY, the spider, is the biggest one that just buys the whole market. And so you go buy one share or two shares a month or whatever it is. And if you can't afford that, then you build it up for 2 months and then you go buy a share. It's okay. But you start. You say, and so practically, what do? You open an account somewhere. And remember, financial planning isn't, well, I know what the market's going to do, and I'm the smartest investor in the world. I know which mutual fund or ETF you're supposed to buy, or some predictive thing. If you have an advisor like that, you need to find a new one, because we don't know. The most important things are the decisions you think through. Can I retire? Can I afford to retire? How much do I need based on what we want to do? What kind of tax strategies do we have to pull money out of my 401k when I've got so much there? What should I be doing now that I'm getting closer to retirement? Should I be moving money around, getting prepared for income planning? What do I want to have happen to my money when I'm gone? How am I going to pay for a college education? That's financial planning. That's financial planning. Part of it is investments. That's all. Small part. Okay? So anyway, what do to get started? You open an account. That's what you do. And that's all you have to do. And then you send some money in and you start. And you start. You might even have a really smart uncle, dad, brother, friend. They could say, hey, just throw your money in this. Fine. You can put $100 a month into this. Off you go. Just there you go. Now you're going. And by the way, smart people are not people that happen to have a really good construction business. No. That doesn't say how much investment experience they have. They're smart people for what they're doing. Right? And maybe they are good investors, but you understand the point. Find somebody who you feel and know you can trust, but you also think is pretty darn understanding about investing. All right, got to take a quick break. Terry, you're up to bat next at 580-KIDO.
Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. Wow, this flew today. Thank you very much, and just ripped along. Let's go ahead and jump on the phones. Terry, thanks for calling and waiting. Go ahead, please.
Good. Good morning, Professor. Good job with that email.
Oh, thank you. That's good. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. It's I forget sometimes how honestly difficult this can seem to people when it's really that easy, and how it is easy. It is easy when you know a little bit, but when you don't know any, it's fearful to get started.
Just going in and the first time I had some money aside, and I went and did that, opened an account and bought a share of Realty Income Corporation because I could reinvest the dividends at TD Ameritrade.
Mm-hmm.
And it, pardon me?
I said, uh-huh, that's exactly, that's great, yep.
And look at where we are now.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. No, it's great.
But you were talking about the speculation of it all, and you just got to reiterate to everybody that you paired the time, when do I need this money, with the discipline of compartmentalizing your paycheck.
Mm-hmm.
If you start doing that after you and then open an account somewhere, it just falls into place, and stick with the discipline. You end up like me, not knowing what to do with money, and I'm buying silly things like Bitcoin.
Yeah, there you go. Which is doing very well these days. So, yes, all-time highs on Bitcoin, too, I think, right?
Oh, not yet, but it'll get there. I've got more there than I have other places just because it went up so drastically. But, well, this is for my yet-to-be-conceived great-grandchildren. It's intergenerational wealth, so it's not my money.
Right, there you go. It's interesting. The whole point of contemplating all of this, to me, is that it just resets how good the capitalist system is. And how beautiful it's gotten to be to reach to the lowest levels of our society. And I don't mean that in low people. I mean low income levels, that they can participate and become wealthy and or at least self-sufficient. I mean, you know, it's just it can change a life. And that's we've reached that point where investing has become free and easy, that people don't have to know a lot. And they can change the dynamic of their families. And that is a marvelous thing. So when I say the lowest, I don't mean that as far as people's character. I mean that only and specifically as their economic level.
Well, yeah, in one of those podcasts I turned you on to, Peter McCormick went ahead and made a trip to Africa. And they were out in the boonies somewhere. And because of Bitcoin and that some people each with their sold a cow, or I don't know how they got there, but they got a piece of Bitcoin, and that piece of Bitcoin allowed them to have enough capital to invest in a power generator. And then they had lights and they had electric hot plates or an oven or what have you. And just the change that little bit of Bitcoin made for them to changed the life of the whole village.
Exactly. Those are great stories. And you think about that, too, from human development, what has occurred, which is why it's one of those things you just really have to stop and you have to spend time contemplating and reading things that are outside of the Doomsday Digest. And what I mean by that is to stop and think about all of the simple fact that I know China's an enemy, okay? So we all, you know, but 25 years ago, 30 years ago, tens or hundreds of thousands, and in some bad years, millions of Chinese died of starvation every single year.
Mm-hmm.
And we certainly always saw the Somalian children on TV, send your money to care and all that stuff. And it is. If you don't see a baby starving as an unbelievably terrible thing, man, you got issues. I can't help. It was terrible. But we don't even talk about that anymore because it's not happening.
And
these remote places have wells of and if they don't have wells, they've got these filtration systems, so they have clean water. I mean, it's a stunning change in the darkest places in the world.
Yep, with the China, I still remember, real close to home, Mom used to say, clean your plate. People are starving in China.
Right.
So wait a minute here. So,
yeah, that's good. But anyway, yes, it's true. And so you just remind me of all the advance we've had globally is just phenomenal. And we just sometimes need to stop and celebrate how we've done. Because it's not all bad. We're not all bad people.
You need to live your day. I I was accused of having a happy soul.
Yeah.
Smile, say hi to people, carry on like it's a good day, and by yiminy, it does come down to that. You are having a good day.
That's right. If you believe it, you will. Terry, thank you. I got to roll out of here.
Yes, sir. Take care, sir.
Have a good day. Thank you. All right. We're going to wrap a couple quick items up as we bundle up today's program of investing versus speculating. All right. I know it's a hard time. I touched on this in the very first. Consumer confidence, durable goods, retail sales, housing starts, ISM has gone down 16 months in a row. Lots of negative economic news in the market hitting all-time highs. We have to think long-term, and you don't chase. Relax. Going to be okay. Have a great weekend, everybody. Thanks for tuning in.